Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior, my Lord, and I'd like to do a commentary on Day 83. And the Bible verse is from the Book of Psalms, Psalm 27, verse 5, and it reads, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock." That first part of that verse says, "For in the day of trouble." I know this in my 76 years that no one escapes the day of trouble. We all have some day of trouble. Most of us have days of trouble because is the tendency that when it rains, it pours. And it seems like, are we going to make it through this flood? But I'm here to tell you, we do. Because we have a God who loves us. So no one of us can escape the day of trouble. And we need to do some preparation because it weaves in and out of life. We have some good days and bad days and rainy days and sunny days, but this is what is so beautiful. On all of these days, we have the Lord. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And so I want to hold on tightly to the Lord. Hold tight and stay very close to him, because this is what I know about bad days. There are some days that are horrible days, because the devil will storm, what I call, storm the door. He'll storm the door. He'll get some of his little minions and other people in there. And for me, it always happens with the thought life. The thought life just goes south, meaning feeling inadequate, feeling nothing that, you know, discouraged and whatever. And I know better than to get to that place. But sometimes I don't see it coming. But like I said, you know, in this reading and even said at the introduction, it's the Word of God. God's Word is the sword of the Spirit. God's Word reminds me of the Son of God, who is God, who came to redeem my life from destruction. He came to do that. And he has done it. And he doesn't stop doing it. He's at the right hand of the Father. He prays for me. He's there for me. And when I am in his word, I am reminded of truth. This is why it says it in the Bible, in that John 8:31-32, "If you abide in my word, you are really my disciple. Then you know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Yeah, free, you know, freedom. We want freedom. That's what we want. We don't want bondage. And so we don't reach our hands out and take bondage. And that food is a bondage. It's a bondage. And don't think that freedom means being able to eat all you want, when you want, whatever you want. That's the devil's lie. For us, no. That is bondage. And so we don't listen to that lie. So it says, "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling." He will keep me. You know, God has given me a wall of protection. He protects me. He holds out his hands. He wants me to be in the shadow, be behind him. He wants me there. But there is a entity of flesh called pride, and it's very foolish. Foolish pride makes and belongs, you know, it prolongs, I'm trying to say, the struggle. That's what it does. And pride is just pride. Pride is my way or the highway. I want it my way, and I want it done my way. I want to do it my way. I don't want to and do it his way, but no, I got to listen to him. And I have to even say some days, I got to say out loud, I love Jesus more than having it my way. I love Jesus more than my prideful self, you know, whatever. No, I'm not my pride. I'm a new creation in Christ. So this verse says, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me, and it says, in the shelter of his tabernacle. Oh, that's what his word is for me. It is a shelter. And that means that for me daily, I want to be in God's word consistently and sincere. That means that I want to engage my heart. I want to remember who I am. I want to remember what truth will do for me. I want to dwell in that shelter of his tabernacle and set me high. He will set me high. He will hide me in that shelter and set me high upon a rock. And think about what the world proclaims and what it holds out like a carrot in front of people who, you know, we don't remember who we are in Christ. That carrot is success or fame, that or people just, ooh, and ah, and who we are and whatever. Oh no, I got to remember that I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives. You know, he lives in me. And I want to remember it's all about him. It's like what John the Baptist, we read that recently. John the Baptist, you know, they said, you know, are you the Messiah? Are you the one? He said, no, I'm not him. And not only that, he says later, you know, I must decrease. I got to decrease. He must increase. I got to get littler and littler, smaller and smaller. And so I just want to just remember that. And I cannot let, you know, any kind of wrong thinking linger in my mind. Can't do it. That's what this first paragraph was saying, you know, that natural disaster can do much damage in a small amount of time. I've seen pictures sometimes of people who have survived tornadoes, you know, and the tornado itself lasted just a few minutes in a region and have done terrible things. And the same thing I know about those wrong thoughts. If I allow wrong thoughts to remain in my life, I can't always control them coming into my life, but I cannot allow them to remain. I not only need to take them out, I need to have the word of God to push them out and to keep them staying out by occupying that place that they vacated. I'm not going to just push out the wrong thought and just leave it empty. If I do that, then I will have to suffer the consequences that we read about in Matthew, I think it's chapter 12, about a demon leaving a place or being swept out of a place and trying to find a new place. And then when he can't find a new place, he'll go back to that old place and bring even other demons with him, because he finds that place swept out, you know, and empty. And so, no, it's not just a matter of taking away what is wrong. That's very important that I take away what is wrong. But I have to put the truth in its place. And Jesus is the truth. In the second paragraph, it talks about, it says, I have been held in safety through the truth of God's word. The verses that I have hidden in my heart have risen to the surface to remind me who I am in Christ Jesus. That you have heard me speak about that a lot, about who am I? I don't want a day to go by when I don't go back over and over this truth. Who am I? Who am I? I am not who I used to be. Not the flesh. I'm not that person that made those wrong choices. I am a new person. I don't ever want to lose sight of that. And I don't want to listen to my feelings only. I don't want to turn away from my feelings. No. God wants me to have an empathetic and loving heart. But if I listen to my feelings, my head can go into all kinds of nonsense. They're not my master. So I have to practice saying to myself again and again, I belong to the Lord. He saved my life. He put His Spirit in me. He has not left me. And if I forget that, what will happen if I forget that I belong to Him and how He saved my life and how His Spirit is in me and how He is with me, even in hard times? If I forget that, I will drift into discouragement, self-pity, fear, and all kinds of craziness. But when I remember who I belong to, I'm telling you that joy comes back, that peace comes back, and that purpose comes back. The Lord has given me a mission, and I cannot let my feelings define me anymore. I have to let God's truth define me. And so, those voices will start. But I am, I was thinking today about that song, there's joy in the house of the Lord. It's the song that I think Phil Wickham sings it. But I was trying to think of a line from there today. And one of the lines says, we were the beggars, now we are royalty. We were the prisoners, now we are running free. So He's done all these things for me. So why do I think I deserve to have it my way, whatever my way is? And that's when I dwell in my feelings and let my feelings call the shots. If I listen to my feelings, please, I'll be sitting back doing nothing. I'll be sitting back letting somebody, laying my head on a pillow and dropping some binge food in my mouth, because I think I deserve it. No, I got to remember who I was. I was a beggar, and now I am royalty. I was a prisoner. Now I am running free, and He is just asking me to give someone else that chance. Give someone else that chance. And I do that by not getting into myself. It is not about me. It is about the Lord. And that third paragraph in the Bible prayer says, God's word is a place of safety. It's a secure dwelling place, high above that which threatens to bring me down. Hallelujah, God reigns. And I am grateful for God's word. And I want to study it with diligence. I want to let it wash me. I want to let it reset my mind. I'm not that little person that I was. Fearful, very fearful of people. Little puppy dog. Let me please you, please, and just say that you love me so much, and I'm on that note. I was thinking about that today, too, as I was having my quiet time. When I was getting abstinent, like I said, I was I got abstinent in a secular group, which means that Jesus was not the center of why I got abstinent with it. And he wasn't the prime force behind my abstinence either. We would talk about God, but it was a God of our understanding, but that God is no longer strong enough for me. I don't understand everything about God, but he does have a face for me, and that face is the face of Jesus Christ. The Bible even tells me that he is the visible image of the invisible God. And so my abstinence is down pat solid, all about the Lord. It's all about the Lord. And if it's all about the Lord, it's about me joining him in his work. So no, it is not about me having the life of Raleigh, whatever that looks like, you know, on a given basis. No, it is about remembering what he likes, what he wants. He wants me to reach back and help that person who is floundering at the time. Help them to know truth, not only floundering with the food, just floundering with life in general. They need to know that the Lord is real, and he's strong, and he's mighty. You know, he is a mighty God, and I love that he is mighty in that way. And I know him in this way. I thought about that. Deuteronomy 10:17, you know, he is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God. That's who he is. And he has made me his child, his true child. Yeah. And so going back to what I was saying, when I got after them, they used to have little sayings that we said. Like I said, we don't eat no matter what. And we also say, you know, there's another meal coming. So we won't, you know, get crying the blues when the meal ended. But they would also say that when you are getting your abstinence ready, you know, you can, just as long as it's abstinent, you can just, you know, get the biggest and the best. Like, get the biggest and the best. And that's what I used to think, you know, yeah, okay, as long as I'm abstinent, I can get the best and I can get the biggest, whatever they say that I can have. And I can tell you, when before I knew the Lord, that was it. I got the biggest and the best. And that was, you know, focus on that and three times a day, that was it. But that's not my focus today. Because, you know, I have the biggest and the best. His name is Jesus Christ. And he loves me more than anyone can ever love me. And I want to love him back in that same way. And he said, Pat, if you love me, keep my commands. My commands are not grievous. They're not. They are the best of best. So don't be running after some false god. That ain't it. Don't be running after the food. But don't run after other means of falsehood. Other ways of thinking that is not of me. And so, but let me pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for all that you have taught me and all that you teach me. Thank you that my hands are clean today. They're not in the food today. My head is clean today. I'm not running after the biggest and the best, and I'm not thinking that food is the end-all and the be-all. It is your gift, and I'm grateful for that. But your peace is also your gift, and that, for me, has a higher premium. Even to, you know, having the biggest and best food or whatever, I'm just grateful that I'm abstinent and that I know that you are my Savior and my Lord. And it's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.